This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
The president is accused of workplace violence. The attorney general pledges to get to the bottom of the Russia collusion conspiracy. And Cory Booker, Senator Count Grantstangela, introducing reparations. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. George Will, we're discussing this piece, The Madness of College Basketball's Amateurism. The fact that the NCAA with football and basketball makes a lot of money. A lot of money these schools make, as do the sponsors who who pay lots of commercials to run on the various games as millions of people tune in, especially during March Madness. And the kids don't get paid, and the kids are not also allowed to make any money using their likeness or their image or anything like that. They're not allowed to do any of that stuff. This is interesting now. Nike pays Duke serious money, but not a penny to Williamson. He's the one who had the blowout with the shoe. To wear its stuff. Duke is a private institution, obviously. University of Kentucky extended its marriage to Nike for $30.6 million over 8 years. Williamson's defective shoe briefly knocked $1.1 billion off Nike's market capitalization. And Michael Avenatti, the former lawyer for Stormy Daniels, was apparently nine times more ambitious with his scandal with Nike. He was arrested, of course, after being recorded, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, threatening to release on the eve of March Madness and of a Nike earnings call evidence that Nike has participated in a particular practice of sports apparel companies. Adidas and Under Armour also supposedly compete. They sluice money through third parties to blue chip recruits or their families to steer players to schools that are paid to wear their company's goods. To lawyers for Nike, Avenatti said, "I'll go take $10 billion off your client's market cap." Recently, three men were convicted of fraud and conspiracy for directing recruits to Adidas schools on the amusing theory that the schools who welcomed these players had never noticed any of the money sloshing around and so were somehow victims. Pure as the driven slush. Louisiana State University reached a Sweet 16 in the 2019 March Madness without its coach, who was suspended by LSU after refusing to talk to the university about transcripts of colorful telephone conversations. The coach spoke about a hell of a blank offer and a blank strong-ass offer to whom was unclear about prospective recruits. Conceivably, the offers were not for NCAA-permitted benefits for the athlete. The judge in another recent case compounded the comedy, ruling that although the NCAA has no coherent definition of amateurism, it can continue to sharply limit financial aid to athletes because the judge accepts the NCAA's convenient theory that the importance to consumer demand of maintaining a distinction between college sports and professional sports. And then, of course, the question of how many of these kids might be bought off to, as Johnny says, point shaving and whatnot, because they're not making money. And so, you know, is a temptation for them to succumb to this stuff? Probably, you know. 855-839-1210. And I don't know how you don't pay football and basketball athletes at Division I schools when all this money's on the table. I don't know. I don't get it. Bill is in Pittman. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing great. I want to preface this by saying I love your program. I agree with 99.9% of what you say, right? My daughter was a three-time state champion in cross country and track. She had multiple Division I schools interested in her. She went to a Division III school because academically it was better for her. And last spring, as a freshman, she ran at a meet at Lehigh University and beat all but one of the Division I runners.
Awesome! That's great.
So there are great athletes in Division III.
I never said there weren't.
Right. And I think the solution to the problem is to let the one-and-done kids come right out of high school and in the NBA. That's where the corruption's happening at.
Well, I think that, you know, with your daughter, I mean, you said track, right?
Yeah, she runs cross-country and track, yeah.
Do you think that she should be paid for running for the school?
Well, Division III, they don't offer scholarships. So, no, I don't think she should be paid.
What about one of the guys who played for Virginia last night? Should he be able to make money off of his name or his likeness?
He's getting a free ride. He's getting an education for free, and that's what they're getting.
And that's enough, you think?
I think for the guys that are good enough to go into the NBA out of high school, like Zion Williamson from Duke, a couple of the kids that play for Kentucky, I think those guys should be able to go right out of high school into the NBA.
But if they want to go to college, if they want to go to college, why can't they make money and get an education?
Well, if they're going to college, then they're getting a full scholarship to play, and that's a decision they have to make.
So what? Their market worth is a lot more than just a scholarship. You know that. I know that.
Well, I agree. Yeah.
Why should there be limits on what any person is allowed to make from their name or their likeness? Why should we limit people like that?
Because in spite of the fact that they're generating a ton of money in revenue from advertising and so forth, it's still amateur athletics. And if they want to be professionals, that's fine. They should be allowed legally to go right into the NBA or to the one of the development leagues and make money off of their image that way.
All right. Well, I guess
amateurs,
I mean that's
college, let them go to college.
That's the old argument. All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. First of all, I don't knock athletes at Division III schools, but let's just be honest here. Bloomberg did a report on the college sports business. Now, this is from 2016. So, football generated Division I now generated $1.7 billion. Basketball, men's basketball, $329 million. As profit and loss, NCAA men's Division I. 10 sports with the highest annual loss in millions. Because I think the reality is the real reason why we don't pay athletes or let them make money is because of this. Women's basketball, annual loss of $163 million. Track, women's track, Division I, $77 million annual loss. Men's track, $72 million annual loss. Baseball, $69 million annual loss. Volleyball, $66 million annual loss. Softball, $60 million annual loss. Rowing, a $35 million annual loss. The Division I field teams more than 6,000 teams and provides an opportunity for more than 170,000 students to play sports every year. Athletic departments make money three main ways: ticket sales, alumni donations, and TV rights. The roughly 125 schools on the top level of college football, known as the Football Bowl subdivision, turned a $1.7 billion profit on the fiscal year ending in 2016. And the men's D1 basketball made $329 million. So, I mean, I guess, you know, maybe it's the capitalist in me, but I don't know how you can compare someone who's helping generate a revenue of $1.7 billion to someone who's helping generate a loss of $35 million and say that they're equal because they're both playing college sports. I mean, it's silly. It's not amateur if the school's making billions of dollars. Who are we kidding? It's only amateur because we're pretending it's amateur. What's the difference? We see the same commercials. It's on TV. Same ads, Nike and everything else. Beer commercials. I mean, what, you know, restaurants. But they're amateurs, right? They're amateurs. Yeah, that's the difference. I don't buy it. But I think the reality is that you'd have a lot of people upset that, you know, my son plays, he's on the swim team, the diving team. Why doesn't he get paid? Well, because, you know, the sport generates a loss. That's why. And we don't like to say that not everybody gets a trophy anymore, right? So that's mean and that's harsh. He works so hard. He practices so hard. He works great. I get it. But he's not in a profit-generating industry, whereas college football is. College basketball is. I bet you since 2016, those numbers have probably even gone up. So I don't know. I don't know how you look at a kid who plays football for Penn State and make, you know, is part of a $1.7 billion industry and go, well, sorry, you know, your education, you're getting a free education, free ride, same as a Division III soccer player who's generating a net loss of $63 million. To me, that makes no sense. But again, I think people should be rewarded based on what their contribution is and what value they bring to something. If the colleges are making money, it's not amateur. How's it amateur if the colleges are making money? And the colleges take that money and then donate it to charity? That's amateur. Yes, Dawn.
Damn it. I'm raising my hand.
Oh, yes.
What if they're 17? What if they are a kid? They're not an adult yet.
You can put it into a trust.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Although kids can make money at 17.
But
see, I had a job at 17.
Did you work with adults?
I worked at a bookshop. What? I worked at a bookshop. I had a job.
You did?
Yeah, you can work if you're 16.
Okay.
I think, right? Why, you don't think athletes should get paid?
No, I just thought maybe it was an age issue.
Oh, no, because you've said that before. You think they should get paid, right? I think, yeah, I've heard you say that.
But I was trying to figure out why the NCAA does this. It doesn't make sense, like you're saying.
Because they're cheap. That's why.
So I was just trying to, I thought, well, maybe there's some age that you have to be 18 or something. I don't know.
No, they hide under the amateurism thing. But they're not, it's not an amateur where there's $1.7 billion on the table. You want to make it amateur? Like my last caller, Bill and Pittman, right? Great guy. You want to make it amateur? Then take every dollar generated for the NCAA, pick a charity and give it to that charity. That's how you make it amateur. And if you want to do that, fine. I'll shut my mouth. I'll be quiet. Until that time comes and people are making money off this thing, let's not pretend like it's amateur, okay? James is in Wilmington. Yes, James. How are you, sir?
Good, Rich. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so I did an economics class recently. We did a report on some of the top D1 football schools out there. And one of the things that we came up with for numbers in the class was what the fair market value was for a D1 player. And the average of one of the, say, the top 10 schools is actually north of $500,000 per year was calculated, the fair market value for that athlete based on how much each school makes.
So it's way more than just the free ride that the, you know, like Bill was saying.
Yeah, actually, if they did another number, which was how much does the top athlete get per year based on like their total package, it's only down to about $40,000 per year. So it goes to show you what the, you know, the actual gap is between what they're given, about $40,000, that was a top athlete, compared to what the fair market value would be based upon their total revenue. And so it's, you know, way, way, way out of whack. So,
excellent. Well, listen, that's great, James. Thanks for that's good information, bud. Thanks for doing that research.
No worries, man.
You got it. Thanks, pal. 855-839-1210. See, it's also, here's another thing, too. Let's say I was in college, right? At Maryland. Mm-hmm. And let's say I did a radio show in college. I did an amateur, crappy college radio show. Right. Every college radio show stinks, right? But let's say I was so good in college that I got picked up by a professional radio station. I'm still allowed to go to college, and I can make money as a professional radio host. But with sports, you got to pick one or the other. So you either got to quit school and go pro, or you got to stay in school and make no money. Name me another profession like that you can do as a college program that they offer, where you got to drop out of school. Your only choice is either quit college or make no money. What? Give me another example like that. If you're a cop, you can go to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't say like, oh, well, I'm sorry, but only amateur police officers. If you become a professional police officer, you can't go to college part-time. Like, what? It's the only thing where they say that you're not allowed to make money. And I'm telling you, it's because it's not fair to the swim team. I don't mean to mock the swim team.
I've never heard anybody make this point, which is, you know, why the show is so great.
There you go. I just like people to be able to make what they can in life. I want you to make as much money as you can, do whatever you can in life, you know? That means then if you are an amateur chess player at college and you're picked up to go play professional chess, you should be allowed to make money playing professional chess.
True.
And you should be investigated by Mueller for being a Russian asset, yeah, because most of the chess is Russian collusion. I don't know if that's true, but it always seems like the chess players are Russian. Reparations, the Attorney General, Beto O'Rourke, a lot to discuss. By the way, I have 0.0 athletic ability in my body. None. So I respect every athlete who plays a sport. I do. You play D3 swimming? God bless you, man. I am impressed. Absolutely. It's just that there are some sports that make money and there are others that don't. It's like not everybody can make money being a radio host. There are a lot of radio hosts out there. There are a lot of podcasts out there, but not everybody can make money doing this. That's the difference. I respect everybody who gets behind a microphone for doing it. It's not easy. I do. But some people are going to make money doing it. Some people are going to make more money doing it. Life's not fair, you know? But the one thing I think we can all agree on, though, is that if you are a college radio host and then you get picked up by a big-time radio show company, you don't have to drop out of school. You're allowed to continue your education. I mean, that's where we are today. 855-839-1210. Peter's in Abington. Peter, what's up, bud?
How you doing today, Rich? I just want to tell you before I get into it, I met you at one of your book nights. We had a great time, and this is the only radio station I can listen to after work that literally gets me laughing in the car. So,
oh, thank
whatever
you,
you're doing, you keep on doing it because it's a great show and I really enjoy it. Athletes should be paid. And they're generating, say, $350. I played college basketball. I was lucky enough to have a full scholarship to a local school. Played 4 years of college basketball. And where does that $350 million go? I can guarantee you that the people last night did not go to that stadium to see the fat, bald guys from the NCAA.
Right.
That run the NCAA. They went to see the thoroughbreds, the horses, the guys that, you know, that make the exciting plays and that sell the jerseys and sell the programs and all the festivities and all the, you know, everything that goes along with college basketball. It's a unique experience, a great experience. If you've ever been to a college game, especially an overtime game with all the chips on the line like that, and the schools make a tremendous amount of money. How do we not get any of that money? Where does that money go?
It's a great question, man. It's a great question. You know, I think a lot of that money goes to pay for the sports that lose money for the colleges.
Well, you know, they have to make their choices as to what sports that they want to have. And, you know, everybody says, well, they get a free education. Well, I remember when I registered late for classes and I would get into a class that had 28 kids, they put another chair in the class. Now there's 29. I don't see where that's any big expense to the school. I really don't.
It's not.
An extra, an extra chair in the classroom. I was lucky enough to play for a coach locally that made sure I got my education because I was not good enough to go to the pros. And, you know, so sometimes it works out if you got people that are looking out for you. But many of these kids do not graduate from college. And the amount of work that you put in to get to that level, it's just unbelievable, Rich, that there's no compensation whatsoever. You know, I get calls from the school say, hey, do you want to donate to the alumni? Don't you want to remember the school? I told a lady every time I get out of bed in the morning I remember the school because my knee hurts. So, you know, that's my point. And, you know, I thank you for bringing light to it. I think the athletes definitely deserve some of that money.
All right, Peter, thank you very much, bud. I appreciate it. I think it's just, look, if you generate a profit for an entity, why should you not get paid for that? I mean, I'm not for paying people that don't deserve it because I think that that's silly. Like, Walmart's bringing out robots right now because the $15 minimum wage nonsense is now causing stores to literally have robots. But if I'm part of an effort that generates $1.7 billion and I can't make some money, what the hell kind of a country is that? And, you know, I understand people say, well, then it's professional. Listen, when Buffalo Wild Wings is sponsoring spots during the NCAA, can we stop pretending like it's amateur? You know what amateur is? Amateur's high school. That's what it is. That's amateur. Amateur high school sports. Well, you charge like $2 a ticket, right?
Yes, that's amateur.
Most of that money goes to something for charitable reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what, for example, you want to know amateur?
What?
Charity? The Philadelphia Police Blue Sox, my buddies who play the baseball, right? In August, they're going to play the NYPD. They're going to beat New York. It's going to be a beautiful thing. All that money goes to support the Survivors Fund of the FOP.
Oh, beautiful.
You'll pay money to go see this baseball game. These are amateur athletes because they're cops. But, I mean, they're professionals in life, but not in that game. And all that money goes to charity, right?
Yeah, nice.
That's what I consider to be an amateur game. If I turn on the TV and Pizza Hut is the official pizza, yes, the NCAA, let's stop pretending like we're watching an amateur experience here, okay?
Well, you know, to your point, one time you brought up the point that some of their coaches make like millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars, Dawn. Millions.
So aren't they an amateur coach?
Thank you. They should be making, you know, doing it charity for
charity,
free.
Yep.
Like most of the people that we know who coach teams,
exactly.
Right? Like you volunteer to coach your daughter's softball team over the weekend.
Just because you love to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I said my buddy Jay the other day, he's coaching soccer, you know, and his daughter and Maz's daughter are on the same team together. And I said to Jay, because he's given, you know, guy just became a lawyer. He's clerking for a Supreme Court judge in Jersey. And now he's doing this friggin' soccer coaching on Saturdays. He's got all this law school debt. I go, what are you... You getting paid for this? He goes, no, I'm not getting paid for this.
That's amateur.
That's amateur.
Yeah.
If he goes, yeah, I'm making $7 million. Pay me $7 million.
It's amateur.
It's not amateur anymore. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
For free, amateur. Not for free, not amateur.
Right, not amateur. Yeah. That's the difference right there, you know? And if Buffalo Wild Wings wants to sponsor the Division III swim meet, great.
Yes.
Have at it. You know what I mean? But the reality is... Right. Anyway.
If you would have seen that game last night, like it had the pageantry of, you know, a World Series game or an NBA final game. I mean, there were a lot of eyeballs on that game last night. So any company would want to sponsor that show because it was, you know, a lot of people watched it.
And I'll tell you why it doesn't become another professional league. Because you can only be in college for 4 years. I mean, you could be longer if you want, but you know that's 4 years is the plan, right? And eventually, you know, the NBA is always going to pay more, or the NFL. So I mean, you probably are going to leave at some point. But you know, I mean, the idea that it's going to, you know, also you're going to root for your school because you root for your school. Mm-hmm. You're going to root for that. You like the yep. team. You're not going to suddenly go, well, I'm not going to go watch the NFL anymore because now they're paying college athletes. So I'm going to give up on football. I would buy Eagle season tickets, but now that they're paying college students, I'm just going to do that.
Yes.
That makes no difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
None whatsoever. But anyway, you know who's a guy who's realizing quickly that he's an empty suit? Beto O'Rourke. Beto. You know, people ask me why I keep calling him Beto, Dawn.
Yes.
I saw this story in USA Today today. This is pretty funny here. They said, where is it now? I lost it here. For Latinos, Beto O'Rourke is just another privileged white guy trying to manipulate them.
Wow, they're awesome. Turning on him.
See, I said, because people go, no, call him Robert Francis. That's his name. And I said, no, because A, Robert Francis sounds like a Supreme Court justice or someone very, very distinguished. Number two, call him Beto. And he's not Latino, but now they're fired up. They're going, wait a second. You stop. You're not Latino. Why are you calling yourself Beto? And for Latinos, Beto O'Rourke is just another privileged white guy trying to manipulate them. USA Today.
Wow.
That's turning so on great. Him, too.
It's the so rock great. Star.
That's it. The rock star. Feeling the burn. keep calling him Beto and remind everybody that he's not actually Latino. He's just another privileged white guy. I love it. I think it's great. Cory Booker, Senator Count Grantangela, has come out now for reparations. he's got a bill on this now. And so that because now he said it, now every Democrat also has to support reparations. Reparations are for slaves. Of course, we haven't had slaves in quite some time. So now it would be to the heirs of slaves, the family descendants of slaves. Mm-hmm. Good luck proving that, by the way.
DNA.
DNA, sure. You could do that. And then good luck... figuring out how you're going to pay for all that. I don't even know.
Yeah, where's that money?
I don't know how that works
out.
There you go. So now that he has said he's for reparations, every Democrat now has also come out for reparations. We have a little montage here. Take a listen.
Congress should convene a study on the best way to provide reparations.
If you elected president, would you sign that bill if it came across your desk?
When I am elected president, I will sign that bill.
The issue of reparations, this is a conversation that is long overdue. So I want to let you know where I stand. I firmly support Congresswoman Jackson Lee's bill to create a commission to study
this
reparations.
This is Kirsten Gillibrand.
If you are elected president and such a bill was passed, would you sign the bill for reparations?
Yes, I would. I already support that bill. Go HR
40. That's a former Native American, undocumented Native American, Elizabeth Warren. Yes, I do.
You know who Kirsten Gillibrand sounds like? Do you watch Veep?
Yeah.
You know how she does? She's not sure what she's going to say. And she goes, on that bill, it's an important bill. Right, and yes.
She's ready for the guy to whisper in her ear. Yes, you support it. Yes, I support it. Reparations.
In that montage was John Hickenlooper, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Lizzie Warren.
I can't believe, by the way, that Elizabeth Warren hasn't yet claimed that she's a descendant of a slave.
I was just going to say, it's great.
You know what I mean? I can't believe that. Kate Spencer just sent a Facebook message. Rich, my mom and I listen to you in the Twin Cities. I heard about the Zioli Army onesies. Will they be available in adult sizes? Seriously, where can I score some merch? Ooh. Well, Kate, thank you. That's awesome that you're listening out there. We're working on it. Seriously, we are working on it, for real. We are doing it.
Yep.
Michael sent an email. He said, I tried calling in. The reason why they don't pay athletes is because the money covers the shortfall from all the other sports. If you paid football and basketball players, I mean, virtually every other sport would need to be dropped, which obviously can't happen with Title IX. As someone who broadcasts college athletics for Division I university for a living, I've seen the financial statements of some of these schools, and I can promise you that paying athletes their fair market value would cripple every market athletic department across every major athletic department in the country. Mike, who is a professional broadcaster for D1 Sports. Mike, cool. Thank you for sharing that. Awesome. Love to get more of that perspective. Joe, why didn't you let him on the phone? That's a good call right there.
Joe.
Rich, I'm sorry.
What's
Joe's taking a beat.
The guy
he's
like,
setting up his cuddle time.
Oh, Joe's got
Lehigh.
A cuddle.
I have appointments to make, Rich. Cuddling and
this is how Joe screens. Hi, Zioli Show. What's your hi? I'm a college athlete. I play D1 sports. Yeah, sorry, but
boring.
We're gonna get someone else to weigh in on this.
I'm looking for more calls about Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. We're not getting those today. I don't know why.
Michael is a guy who's literally in the industry, and Joe goes, "I'm sorry, your point's been made already."
Oh no!
That's what he told him, because your point's been made already. Hi, yes, I'm a. My name is Mike Krzyzewski. I'd like to weigh in on. I'm sorry, but. Somebody else made that comment, Coach K. Sorry, we can't let you on the air right now.
Look, Rich, until those Bob Hope calls start rolling in.
Hey, see, nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. Can you talk about what we're talking about right now?
I'm fine. I'm sorry. Joe Namath.
Oh, my God.
Is he a little more? He's an athlete, right?
Joe. I'm the one who doesn't know sports here. You're the one who doesn't know how to screen calls. Is there like a camp we can send you to? How did you get this job? How did you get this job? I don't even understand.
I was delivered by the store.
Your job is literally to screen calls.
Your job is literally to screen calls. He's like, hey, this is the Duke men's basketball team. We're all calling on speakerphone. We'd like to weigh in on this. It's like, I'm sorry, but I don't know if you guys have anything to add, so we're going to move on. But thanks. I'll let Rich know you called. Appreciate that.
Maybe we can get Mike to call back in, and he could say it himself.
Yeah, maybe we could. But I'm sure Mike, at this point, has moved on like everybody else in the audience because, you know. Thank you. The situation at the border is a mess, as you know. Dallas and Houston have been considered for new migrant shelters as monthly apprehensions expected to reach 100,000. Thousands of asylum-seeking children could be headed to Dallas as the federal government looks to relieve pressure on a bloated immigration system and overwhelm nonprofit shelters along the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, today was another just nutty ruling by the Ninth Circuit. Nutty. Completely nuts. The president has made an order that said if you're applying for asylum, you have to wait in Mexico while your asylum case is being heard. Today, a judge on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, you can't do that. You can't force them to stay in Mexico. Judge Richard Seaborg blocked the new set of rules after a group of asylum seekers and their advocates sued the federal government. According to the judge, the policy fails to protect the migrants from risk to their lives during their stay in Mexico. Sarah Sanders criticized the judge and said a liberal activist judge in San Francisco ruled the United States and Mexico can't work together to address asylum issues at the border. It's sad that Mexico is now doing more to secure our border than Democrats. The president tweeted out, a Ninth Circuit judge has just ruled out Mexico is too dangerous for migrants. So unfair to the U.S. and out of control. President's absolutely right. You know, this judge is a long pattern now of judges who are exceeding their constitutional authority and trying to take away the president's power, his plenary power in immigration, and it's ridiculous. Daniel Horowitz writing over Conservative Review. Where does the Constitution say that California judges control our border policy? The judicial power vested in a judge allows him to grant injunctive relief to an American seeking protection from a regulatory burden or criminal prosecution. Thus, a judge can say he will not agree to punish a winning plaintiff even if an executive policy or a legislative statute requires it. That is judicial review. A judge, however, has no such power to issue an injunction to enable foreign nationals to come into our country without permission of the president. The judge's ruling is as valid as an injunction placed by me on an administrative policy. courts simply lack such power and have no power to enforce these political musings, exactly as Alexander Hamilton had in mind when discussing the lack of concern for judicial power grabs. And of course, now we have seen with the Ninth Circuit that it's nuts. I mean, they now make immigration policy. And by the way, part of the reason why kids are held in cages is because the courts ruled, and then there was something called the Flores Consent Decree, which said you have to separate children from adults when you detain them at the border. So the Obama administration was literally putting kids in cages, and all the pictures you see are of kids in cages under the Obama administration. The president retweeted Greg Gutfeld from The Five. Greg Gutfeld said the following last night. Take a listen.
Images of immigrant children sleeping in cages. Journalists, politicians, Obama flags, they all blame Trump. Turns out the photos are 4 years old when Obama was in charge. Whoops.
Guy, a large group of reporters was allowed to come into this facility in Nogales.
Since October, more than 52,000 kids have been caught crossing into this country. The detention centers are overwhelmed by the surge.
It's a cross between a refugee camp and a juvenile detention facility.
Kids in chain link holding areas using foil blankets.
They're given mattresses and a thermal blanket.
There's about 140 coming in every day.
It has no window to the outside. There's no bed. There might be a toilet, but it's in a public area.
There you go. You know what? I'll tell you something. That was all under the Obama administration. All under the Obama administration. But you notice his name was never mentioned in all this? So yesterday, after the Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was on her way out, the press turned around and said she was the one person standing in his way, and he's going to start putting kids in cages again. Today, the president said this.
We're not going to bring it back. We're not looking to do that. When you don't do it, it brings a lot more people to the border. We are not looking to do it. But President Obama had the law. We changed the law. And I think the press should accurately report it, but of course they won't. I'm the one that stopped it. President Obama had child separation. Now, I'll tell you something. Once you don't have it, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, because let's go to Disneyland. President Obama separated children. They had child separation. I was the one that changed it. Okay, thank you very much.
And he's exactly right. And you know something, too? This is a reason why drug dealers and human traffickers use kids, and I would say the kids are, they're pawns in this game many times, to get over the border, because the kids become an easier way for them to get in. So they'll go to a village and say, we'll take your kids in for you, and they're able to disguise themselves as being the kid's parent or something like that. That's why the ACLU sued in the first place, you know, and said kids can't be held in detention facilities. But ask yourself this question. You know, it's funny, too, because Amy on Twitter made a comment earlier. She says, if I was caught shoplifting today and I have my kids with me, would the cops drive my kids home? Well, would you be allowed to bring your kids to jail? Would you, you know, if you get arrested in America, you're an American citizen. You get arrested. And you go, I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. Well, bring them. Bring them to jail. Let them hang out in the cell with you. Let them hang out. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll bring some games, some snacks. Is that how it works in our country? With American citizens. Or are the kids ripped from their mother's arms when the mom goes to jail or prison and then placed in foster care or with a relative? How does it work in our country? And I'm pretty sure if I got popped on the way home tonight and I went to jail, that Patrick and Claire, if nobody was around, would not be sharing the cell with Daddy tonight. You know, if Bridget or my parents weren't conveniently around. But that's the absurdity of it. I mean, in America, if you go to jail, I'm not even talking about prison. I mean, if you're just arrested and you go to jail overnight, your kids don't come with you. Yet we're acting now like separating children from adults who break the law and then are placed in detention is somehow inhumane and barbaric at the border. Hey, first of all, these adults are committing a crime, which is the crime of illegal entry into the United States of America. But you see, that's really the point, is that people don't think it should be a crime. People on the left don't think it should be a crime, so therefore they shouldn't be detained. So therefore their families should not be separated from their children. Chelsea Handler has explained it. She's broken it down pretty well. The comedian Chelsea Handler, who made the rounds on television, promoting her newest memoir. And, you know, she's come out why she's crazy now Cut 14.
So the other thing that you're working on, which is fascinating, is a documentary on Netflix about white privilege.
Yes.
And you say that you yourself have benefited from it. Why is it important for you to explore that? I mean, that's pretty brave. People don't want to talk about race.
No, white people certainly don't want to talk about it. So I figured start with myself so that, you know, I can hang myself out to dry at my own.
No, hang yourself, literally.
My own reaction to the presidency, like a spoiled brat. Like, what? You know, like the way that so many people were crying and screaming. And it was like, well, nothing in your life has ever gone that wrong before. And I really had to take a look and go, no. Yes, my brother died. That was traumatic and awful. But I've never been hungry. I've never been starving. I've never been discriminated against that I knew about. And I think as, you know, as a person with a platform, you have to start thinking about what kind of contribution you're going to make when we see the things that are going on in this world. And for me to explore a territory like that, I know I'll get beaten up in the press, but I'm used to that and I welcome it. And I think it's important to have uncomfortable conversations about race because we have a big situation, you know, that's happening. And I thought, like an idiot, Barack Obama being elected was the end of, you know, racial tension in this country. And that's not the case.
No, hardly.
Hardly. Yes, your white privilege, because you've never been starving, because white people never starve in this country. Every white person's doing very, very well in this country. Every single one of them. You know what? I say keep it up. This war on white people is exactly what led to Trump's election, because white working class voters who are not racist and they're not bad people, but they're tired of being told that they're the problem and they've done nothing wrong but just try to go out and make a living. Keep it up. Keep shaming them. Keep shaming them. It's a brilliant strategy. It works every single time. All right, so we covered a lot of ground today. The Attorney General. We covered the NCAA. We covered politics. All of it. A lot of it. A lot of stuff today. But what we did not cover in depth is the question of workplace violence. When I scolded Joe, the call screener, today, I was accused of workplace violence earlier in the show, which is okay because I don't mind. I'm joined in great company today with the President of the United States. This is now former FBI investigator and current NBC News analyst Frank Fugazi, who wondered aloud if Donald Trump's firings of officials like Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen are...
Are we now beginning to see him act out in the form of purging and mass firing and completely not listening to any logic? You know, when people say to him, the law or policy is such and such, and we would be violating the Constitution or the law, and he simply dismisses it and fires people and keeps doing it. Are we essentially watching a workplace violence incident play out at the highest level of our government? And is he acting out now? And where does this go, if I'm right about that?
There you go. Workplace violence. You get fired now. It's workplace violence. You got it? All right. So now the president is killing people who work for him. I love it. There's no doubt in my mind here that we are approaching just absolute nuttiness. Beto, and I will call him Beto because it's now making Latino voters realize he's just another privileged white liberal. Beto O'Rourke said this to farmers regarding climate change. Cut 6.
If we allow farmers to make a profit in what they grow, we allow them to contribute their fair share in combating climate change by growing cover crops, allowing the technologies that invest in precision tilling and farming, capturing more of that carbon out of the air. It's another way in which they can make a profit, keep those farms together, pass them on to the next generation, and allow them to provide us our food and national security, our independence from the rest of the world, our ability to provide for the rest of the world.
The hell is he talking about? Honestly, all I heard was word salad about growing crops and salad. If we let you grow your fair share of crops, what the hell? This empty suit is going to fade out very, very quickly. Very quickly, without question. 855-839-1210 in our final moments today. Let's see here now. Oh, this is, I don't know. We really don't have a lot of time left, but we'll have to get to this tomorrow. But there was a great exchange today on Joe Rogan's podcast with Kevin Hart, the comedian, about the death of comedy and what's happening in America right now with the left going after everything. Kevin Hart, who's a very funny guy, and, well, you know what? Let's do that. After discussing left-wing agitation regarding jokes he made about homosexuality leading to his withdrawal from hosting the Academy Awards, he examined the motivations of those seeking to censor comedians. Let's just play a clip of this.
You know what? I'm on stage and I'm going to be me, and I'm not going to do that because people are telling me that this is what I'm going to go harder and do that. That just exists. It just exists. But I think it's easier to just say, I'm not a fan. That comedy isn't for me.
Right.
You know what? I don't like the taste of this particular comedian, so I'm not going to support or watch that comedian. I'm going to find another comedian that's more to my liking. I'm going to go and just turn my head. Like, I want us to get back to just understanding that you just don't have to support it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, there's a lot of options.
There's so many.
Today?
Yeah, there's so many.
There's never been more comics.
There's like high-level comics.
Think about how many people are doing Netflix specials today.
It's so many.
There's never been more.
It's so many.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I don't understand why there's a push to destroy, which you just don't have to support or like.
I think it's just a bunch of people that have an ability to influence things now that didn't have an ability before. And it's like they see a window and they want to throw a rock. It's right there.
Makes sense.
Like, for me,
It's the situation of what Kevin Hart's saying here. I don't understand why there's a push to destroy when you just don't have to support it. And he's right, but that's not what the left does. They have to destroy, ruin your career, and just make sure that everybody knows that you have not met their standard. They set the rules, and you haven't met their standards, and that's how that goes. It's not good enough for you just to change the channel. They have to destroy you and every image of you and every likeness of you. So it's just the world is no fun. I mean, they're trying to make it no fun anymore, but we try to make it fun for you every single day. Okay, robots are coming to Walmart, and romantic greeting cards are blasted as sexist. I'll have to do that tomorrow, I guess. You ever do romantic greeting cards for you in the hubs?
Sure.
Yeah, they're sexist, you know.
They're sexist?
Oh, yes. This woman tweeted out, she took pictures of a card that said, "You're the kind of girl I buy flowers for." Another card that said, "You're the kind of boy I'd make a ham sandwich for." Natasha Hodgson tweeted out, "Ah, yes, the two sides of heterosexuality, commerce and toil." You see, you can't even have a good old lighthearted freaking greeting card without people being upset now.
But if I'm looking for greeting, like sometimes I get all teared up looking at the greeting cards,
oh,
right?
Oh, really?
Like,
you? No. You stop.
Know, some of them are so sweet. So
can't you see Dawn standing in the aisle just reading greeting cards?
Crying.
The tears coming down, especially the mom ones.
Oh, yeah.
Mom, you're the greatest. Mom, like just standing there reading them.
And so, but think about the joys of life. You know what I mean? Like she's so angry.
So angry.
And she's so rejected that she's going to stand in a card section because she's angry about where she's at in her life.
Exactly. I want to see Dawn at 10 a.m. at Wegmans just standing there flipping through cards.
It's like, oh no, it's Stensland again. Yeah.
Oh man, she wears black glasses and an overcoat. I'm like, oh man, this one. She buy the cards? No. She just reads them. She reads them and she cries and she buys tissues, but she doesn't buy the cards. And
they have the musical ones. You know, like.
Oh God.
Oh. Dawn's got a chair. She had Christie's beach chair in the middle of the card aisle just reading cards. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter? I'm going to give it to Bill Smith. He says, Rich, maybe the same guy that hired Alvarez hired Joe the call screener.
Boom. Well done, sir. Outstanding.
Who hired him? I don't know.
You hired him. Johnny, did you hire him? Tommy, you? Who?
Dawn, can you pass those tissues you bought?
Oh, man, you poor guy, you.
Ratio 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.